Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your word right now. Father, we ask as we start a new series here, Lord, two kingdoms, one king. Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Father, we ask for forgiveness for where we've taken areas of our lives. Even as believers, Lord, we've taken areas and we've held on to those areas. Lord, there are so many times where we choose to move forward in our own strength instead of yours. Instead of your power, we move forward in the flesh and we ask forgiveness for that. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we get to continue to grow in our understanding of what the gospel is, of who you are, of how you connect with your people. So, Lord, as we come to your word today, Lord, may we be able to hear directly from you. Lord, remove me out of the equation. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, it's a new series, Two Kingdoms, One King. And one of the things I want to start is by asking a question that kind of sets up where we're going today. And that is, do you guys believe we serve a loving God? Then why is there so much junk in the world? Why is there so much pain and suffering? Why is it even as believers, we often don't experience the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus? We don't experience things until looking back hindsight so often, right? Sometimes we miss out on the blessings that God has for us in the midst of the trials. And so I want to ask the question, why? Why is it that so much is missed? And I've been praying, and I really felt like God was asking me to really, as we start with this new series, to really go over what is the gospel? Really, what is the gospel? Because if we're not experiencing the blessing of the gospel too much of the time, I think one of the reasons might be because we're not fully understanding the whole gospel. And so often we get sidetracked and we allow things to come in. But I think one of the reasons it happened is because of how important is the gospel? It's pretty important, isn't it? And so I think it's great to get a good handle on where we're going. Does anybody know what the word gospel means? Good news. Good news. And as we look at the good news, I think it's important that we look at what did Jesus say the gospel is. Because Matthew Shorrock's idea of the gospel is worth zero. It's worth nothing. If it goes away from the word of God, it means nothing. What does Jesus say the gospel is? Well, first of all, if the gospel is the good news, what does that mean? There's what news? There's bad news. So the bad news is what? The bad news is sin. The bad news is there's sin and death. There's junk, sin. There's wrong with our humanity. And we look at sin and often we as people have a way to keep sin far away from us, right? Well, of course I have sin. I'm a person. We all sin. We all struggle. And we keep sin distant and separate from us. And it's sin has 54 words. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there's 54 different words for sin, for the whole idea of sin. Words that are translated like evil, iniquity, rebellion, defiance, trespass. All these words used to describe sin. And I think sometimes we get so focused on one word or the other. And I think it's good to take an understanding and to get an idea of what the whole thing is saying, which is, what is God saying by all these different words about sin? They all describe an authority problem. Every single one of the words used to define sin, to bring about the meaning of sin, it describes an authority problem. We have an authority problem in our lives. We want to control our destinies. We want to control the conversation. We want to control how things go. We don't know by nature, in our sinful nature, how to be under authority. Have you ever seen... my daughter, Alexia, just got her permit for driving. So we've been driving. She's a good driver. And yes, somebody made a comment about my driving. Did I drive the speed limit here? I realize I probably will be the only one hopping in heaven because I'm saved, but my right foot is not. I'm trying to get better. I was on my best behavior today. But man, we have an authority issue, don't we? We like to do things our way. 55 is a good idea for somebody else, right? Have you ever seen a young person when they first get their license, the actual license, and they get to go out on their own? I remember I was 16 in a day when I got my license, and I didn't follow the speed limit that day. There is something in us that desires to do things our way, and we want to control our destinies. We want to control the conversations around us. Jesus and the Word of God direct the conversation of what the gospel is. So I think it's important, if we're going to look at what the gospel is, we have to see, what does Jesus say the gospel is? When God directs the conversation, what does he say is the area for us to focus on? What does he describe as reality? And he describes as reality, and what the Word of God describes as reality, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We see John the Baptist preceding Jesus. And in Matthew 1:3, 1 and 2, John the Baptist, and remember, John was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one coming to share who's coming. The Messiah's on his way. He's here. Prepare yourselves. And what's his message? Matthew 3:1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What's he mentioning there? The kingdom of heaven. Guys, when I say gospel, most of us think about the cross, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, all part of the gospel. But we miss out on the heart of what it's talking about. What's Jesus? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? The kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is who? The king of the kingdom. And so often in the church, we think of the gospel as preparing us for when I die someday. And we kind of leave the here and now to just trying to make it till we get to be with Jesus. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. John says the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark 1:14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the what? Proclaiming the good news. So this is the good news, the gospel. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You see what's happening? The gospel is inclusive, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the good news. Guys, we don't have to wait till we die to experience the blessing of God. It's not just living for some future hope. Yes, we have a time to look forward when there is no suffering and no more pain. But the good news is we have the kingdom of God available to us through Christ Jesus, has opened the door and is sitting on the throne of the kingdom of God. You see, I really believe that in our world, Jesus as Savior is not very offensive. Jesus as Lord is quite offensive. And I'll be defining that more as we go on. But man, Jesus, you know, hey, you don't want to go to hell? Hey, all you have to do is say a prayer and you're good to go. It seems so nice. And you know, it's amazing that the church has kind of candy-coated the gospel. We've made it really unoffensive. You know what? We want to have a seeker-friendly gospel. And so Jesus loves you. And he does love you. But there is something inside of us that needs to move forward to connect with that love, to receive that love. So often we hear the gospel as just as the gift. And there's left out the whole idea that, you know what, I have a place here. I have a part in this gospel. I have a responsibility in this. Matthew 4, 17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then in verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Let's think about that. So he's declaring the kingdom of God, and then he's saying, you know what? So that you know it has validity to it, there's going to be healings. And what kind of sicknesses were healed? Was it just some? All, every. Not just the ones that were emotional and relational, but even physical. And so he's healing, and it's showing what? It's showing the gospel. It's showing who he is, and that this message of the kingdom of God is for real. It's saying these words are supported. Guys, think about this. I've got this list here. It's the parables of Jesus in chronological order. There's 46 different parables. Do you know how all the parables start out? The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. The parables are what? They're talking about the kingdom of God. They're talking about the gospel. I want to have Jesus transform me more. Guys, honestly, we all struggle, don't we? We struggle in our faith. There are times as a pastor where when I know what I should do and I choose to do the other. And then I've got to face God. Then I've got to face you. I've got to stand up before you. And it's hard sometimes. Because in my flesh, man. But in Christ, through the Holy Spirit working in us, we're made new. We've gone from death to life. Good news means the kingdom of God. Luke 4:43. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Why was he sent? To proclaim the what? The good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom, listen to this, guys, if you get nothing else, hear this. The kingdom is where God is the undeniable leader. The kingdom is where Jesus reigns, where he sits on the throne. Because he sits on the throne, man, and because he died on the cross, I have a doorway into his kingdom, where he reigns, where he reigns. Whenever we surrender to God's authority and leadership, he gives what? His kingdom. So let me ask you this. What areas of your life are you experiencing a lack of peace and joy? What areas of your life are you experiencing a lack of peace and joy? Is it because of sin? Is it because of your sin? Is it because of others' sin that has hurt you and caused you pain? He gives his kingdom. Our theme verse for this four-week series is just two verses. And it's a familiar verse. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that. This then is how we should pray. This is where our minds, our hearts should focus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. You are worthy. Your kingdom come. It's here. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. You are king of not just heaven, but of this time, here and now. Guys, Jesus ministered for 3 years. It's not very long. 3 years. And we're still talking. He only lived till 33. And then he was crucified and rose from the grave after 3 days and ascended into heaven and is preparing heaven for us and has offered us and given us the kingdom of God here and now. In those 3 years of ministry, did the gospel change? Is this, what I'm saying with this question is, Matthew, that's fine. That's when Jesus was here. But then Jesus died. Did the disciples, did the gospel morph as Jesus? Did it need to change a little bit? Answer to the question, we look to Scripture. Luke 9:2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim what? The kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Once again, what's the focus? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Luke 9:6, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So guys, for some of you, this may be new, this concept of the kingdom of God. You think, well, you know, I'm comfortable with the gospel being the cross and Jesus and death, burial, and resurrection, but what is this kingdom that you're talking about? And thank you very much. What is this kingdom that we're talking about? What are some of these other terms? You know, you repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. What is repentance? Well, repentance, what we're to repent of, what we're to do is we're to turn around and change our mind. We're to change sides. That's repentance. Change sides. Change who's in control of our life. And guys, I promise you, this is not easy, as we all know. because I want to keep getting back on the throne of my life. There are areas where, maybe not in words, but in action, where we say what to Jesus? Take a seat down there. I belong up here. Now, we might not say that with words, but by how we live, we're saying to Christ, you know what? I got this. Sometimes it's out of pride. Sometimes it's out of shame and guilt. Oh, God doesn't want to hear from me again. I've blown it too many times before. That's pride too. And it's saying to God, your way of dealing with the problem of sin, it's not enough. My sin is greater than your forgiveness. And that's not true. Repentance, change who is in control of your life. Matthew 24, 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Guys, look at that. This gospel of the what? Of the kingdom. His reign here and now will be preached to the whole world. This is a missionary calling. We are called to go out and give the gospel, the good news that, you know what? It's not only when you die. Guess what? What I have now with Jesus Christ that's changed my life today, God has that for you. It's not just for when you die. It's for here and now. The suffering, the struggles that you're going through right now, we can tell our friends, that's not where you have to live. We can stumble there, but we don't have to make camp there. We don't have to set up shop and live there in that brokenness of the pain of our own sin or the sin brought on us by others. The cross and the resurrection are the door by which we enter the kingdom of God. But guys, we can't stop with just salvation. We can't stop with just what Jesus did for us. There's a responsibility for us to walk into. It's interesting. We think not having God's authority and rule in our lives gives us freedom. Back to that example of the youngster who's just gotten their license, right? Or the teenager who's just graduated from high school and now they're going to work or going to college and they're on their own and they're not living at their parents anymore and now I've got freedom. That's a lie from the enemy. That mindset of now I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it, that's a lie. Because it brings such death and destruction. It brings such pain of the consequences of our sin. We think going our own way is freedom, and it's not. My supposed freedom still leaves me feeling like something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm broken here. Does everybody's smiling at church. Do they know my heart? Why are they smiling? Oh, wait, I can put on the smile too. Now I fit in. Everything we regard as freedom has chains connected to it. Me doing what I want, when I want, how I want. It brings with it consequences that drag and drag and bind and bind. Repent. Repent. Let go of everything that can't possibly work. What do you need to let go of, guys? I know what I need to let go of. What do you need to let go of? Leaving behind my kingdom in exchange for God's kingdom. The door leads to his kingdom. God's kingdom is where God is in complete control. And when we obey him, we enjoy that blessing of his. You know, as parents, This is a parental thought, a parental encompassing, a parental language of God the Father. Because he loves his children, he gives them restrictions so that there's blessing. A father who doesn't care about his children says, do whatever you want. I don't give a rip, whatever. But a father, a perfect, loving father, heavenly father, who loves his children says, there is such blessing. You have so much freedom in this area. And the reason I don't want you to go outside of here, because it's pain and destruction, because it's stuff that leads to not only your pain, but the pain of others. Why is it that we see so much junk in the world? Because we live in our own kingdoms as our own rulers, and there is consequence of my sin and your sin. And my sin doesn't just affect me. It affects my wife, my children, my church, my neighborhood, my community. So when we experience God being the king, and we experience his kingdom here and now, now it's not just Jesus as Savior. Now it's, oh my goodness, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And it's not I have to worship, it's I get to worship him. He belongs on the throne. I don't. I want to enjoy his goodness. Rest only comes under the king, under the loving father's protection, under the guidelines that he's given us. That's where we find rest. So when we take his truth and we twist it in our kingdom for us to rule, now the consequence of sin takes over and we start blowing it and messing it up for other people around us. When we repent of our sin, come into the kingdom of God and say the area, let's be honest, let's take some areas that have just destroyed our families, our nation, our world. Sex, a beautiful thing created by God. It's a beautiful thing. Man's perverted it, twisted it, messed it up. Love. Love. The love of God is this beautiful thing. And we've taken it and we've used it to as a weapon to get what we want. To manipulate people. Truth. Truth. I'll tell you truth. This is my truth. This is what I believe. Don't tell me what's this is my truth. See, an incomplete understanding of the gospel, we think being a Christian means, listen, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? I have a personal relationship with him. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven when I die. By the way, don't tell me what to do. Guys, that's an incomplete gospel. Jesus is my Lord, but I'm in control of my own life. I give him Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, baby, I'm in charge. Woo! I'm the one ruling. Don't tell me what to do. How many times have we lived in a way that says to God, sit, don't speak. Don't tell me what to do. My truth is truth. What's the lie of the world today? There is no absolute truth. There is whatever you believe, that's good. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There is no absolute truth. As Ravi Zacharias says, do you believe that absolutely? Because there is no absolute truth is an absolute truth. Right? So even in the argument against an absolute truth is an absolute truth. So there's got to be an absolute truth. Don't bother me with common sense. Don't. You see, something happens when we deal with the kingdom of God. We have to humble ourselves before God. See, if I'm not going to rule, I need to come under God's authority. And I do not like being humbled. I promise you, my whole life, I've never liked being humbled. I've always liked doing what I want, when I want, how I want. Every situation is a challenge for me to say, God, I'm trusting you in this. Yes, I know the theological truths of that, but where the rubber meets the road in everyday life, when a situation presents itself, am I able to say, oh, God, help me through this? Right now I'm feeling these feelings, I'm having these thoughts, and it's of the flesh, and I don't, forgive me, God. I choose your truth here. I humble myself. I choose your kingdom here and now. I was dead in my kingdom, the kingdom of the flesh of this world. And I came to life in you. I don't want to live as though I'm in the other kingdom and under the other kingdom of death. We have a world, in closing, we have a world that is in pain. We have people around us that are searching for anything to give a relief from the junk that I'm feeling that I've, because of the decisions I've made and the decisions of others and the anger and the frustration and the guilt and the shame. And people are searching for anything, and the kingdom of heaven is before them. Share about the kingdom of God. Understand that the kingdom is not just the cross. The cross is the doorway into the kingdom of God, where Jesus sits on the throne. Peace is not found in the kingdom you built and I built. Still have this heart longing for something that you're not sure. I'm a believer. Why am I longing? Humble yourself. Come in fully to the kingdom. Those areas that you're dealing with in your own strength. Forgive me, God. Repent. And trust the King, the perfect King, will deal with it well. I promise you this. You can trust Jesus. You can trust the Word of God. What does Jesus say the gospel is? The kingdom of heaven. His kingdom is for us here and now. Guys, the kingdom is, it's a bounty. Let's enjoy it. Let's not get the scraps that the enemy brushes off the table and says, that's all you get. Instead, get off the floor. Sit where you belong at the table and eat of the bounty that God has given in his kingdom. There is life and life to the full. Be in step with the Spirit of God. Be filled with his Holy Spirit. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Be free indeed. Woo! We have a blessing here. Let's enjoy the blessing. Let's enjoy the blessing. Paul, could you close us in prayer? Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you for who you are and what you mean to us, Father. Lord, we just thank you for each opportunity we have to share the gospel. Father, help us with this message we've had today to change our lives. And Lord, just be a witness for you and share the gospel with people around us, Father. Yes. Thank you for your love and your watch care over us. We just pray for Pastor. We just thank you for his message. Thank you for his ministry. Lord, we just ask your blessing on him and his family. Father, we just thank you for this service today. In just Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.